Appreciate that, and I appreciate the story. In fact, I want to use that story to kind of springboard into the message this morning. The message is just simply called One Big Family. One Big Family. Chinese New Year 2021. This past year has indeed been a challenging year for many people around the world. Of that, we cannot deny. Among many things, one of the themes that was touched on in the past year was the theme of racism. And there were protests and riots around the world, and it stemmed from the idea of racism or certain groups being racist towards other people. And this happens from time to time. It's nothing new. In fact, I would reckon that the idea of racism has been around since the very, very early days of the human family. Surely. Why? Because we all have sin in our hearts. And because of that, things like racism will come out. And I've said many, many times, I've often stated that if one has a truly biblical view, a biblical worldview, then racism would not be a problem. Amen? If we really understood from the Bible's point of view where we come from, who we are, there wouldn't be room in this world for ideas of racism, that is, one people group being better than another kind of people group. What we need is not more laws. What we need is not, you know, more protests necessarily. But what we need is more hearts changed by the Word of God. What we need is more people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is the answer. This is the answer to racism. Now, before we go on, let's ask the Lord to guide our minds, our thoughts right now. Father in heaven, I pray that you would direct our thinking, calm our minds. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, as we acknowledge in this country and in our church this new year, this Chinese New Year, Lord, that we are again reminded of who we are as people. People made in God's image, people who, regardless of where we come from, can be saved and brought into your eternal family. Lord, I pray that we would have a biblical worldview. If there's anybody here who is uncertain of their own soul, their own salvation, Lord, I pray that you would work in that person's heart. Bring them to know Jesus Christ this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. All right, we're going to look at a few defining points of the human family. We are part of the human family, and all of us share some defining points that are very unique and very special, very important for us to take note of. The first defining event is that of creation in the beginning. We share a common beginning. Recently, scientists have found through genetic studies that all humans can trace their lineage back to one single woman. Now, they trace it back some 150 to 200,000 years ago to an area actually in Africa, currently Botswana. This is where they kind of traced back the human family tree. I don't know about that. The exact location and their timing and all that. But what they see is we have a common ancestry. All humans seem to have a common ancestry if we go back far enough. The Bible speaks of this as well. In fact, in Genesis 1, it tells us that all things were made by God. It tells us on day 6 that God made man. Right? Not woman, right? Man, sorry ladies, but the man came first. I didn't write the book. I didn't make this story. God did. He made him unique from all the other things that he had made. He was unique. How was he unique? First of all, he was made in God's image. He was made in the image of God. It says in Genesis 1, 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And here comes the ladies, male and female. He created them. Male and female, he created them in his image. You are made in the image of God. The whole human family shares that image of God. It's a uniqueness. All the other creation, all the other animals never said that they were made in God's image except when it came to man and woman. The human family made in God's image. And this is a unique thing so that we are special. We can have a personal walk and relationship with our Creator God. That's made in God's image. I've said this before. I've used this silly analogy before, but when I got married, my wife and I just celebrated 30 years anniversary, 30 years of marriage. That's a long time. But when I married Jennifer. I loved my dogs growing up, but I didn't decide I should marry a dog. Why? Because the dogs are not in my image. I can go out with my dog. I can play with my dog. I can feed my dog. I can talk to my dog, mostly one way. But I can talk to my dog. But we don't have that bond and relationship because it's not in my image. Every one of you here are created in my image. I hope you know what I mean. But because I'm in God's image, you're in God's image, and we're alike, you also are in my image. That's why we can talk about this today. This is deep. No other animals in the animal kingdom get together and talk about where they came from. They don't do it. But we do. Why? Because we can. God made us special in his image. And so I married Jen. She's in my image. And we can talk about these kinds of important things. But God made us in his image. Because he wanted that specialness that we can have with him. It's something else besides just looking like, besides just appearance. It's a uniqueness that we can have a unique relationship with him. But along with this wonderful truth, there's another truth that we all share, and that is the fall. The fall. Okay, raise your hand if you've heard of the fall. Okay, anybody not heard of the fall? It's a word that we use regularly, but sometimes we ought to be careful of assuming everybody knows. When we talk about the fall, the word means that we fell from the perfect world and relationship that we once had. We had it all. We had a perfect environment, perfect relationships, no sickness, no death, no fighting, no arguing. We had everything. We had a relationship with God. Something happened, and we fell from that. This is the fall. Romans 5, verse 12 tells us, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Who was the one man? It was Adam. So the Romans here, Paul writes that through that one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So we all have this sin problem now. We share this event. Our one big family shares this event of the fall, and it affects everyone. And it's not difficult to see the effects. Sicknesses, viruses, death, anger, fighting, wars, just nature itself and the destruction it can bring. The Bible says in Romans that all of creation groans because of sin in the world. We all share this one big family. So the first big event, defining event, is the beginning of creation. There's another big event, though. Jennifer read about it in the book. What big event are we talking about? Okay, families, the earth's population started growing. But then something catastrophic happened, wiped it all out, and we began again. That event we refer to as the flood, or Noah's flood. It wasn't Noah's flood, but he was intricately a part of this story. We cannot examine history as a human family without the flood. This is an important event in our history as one big family. Why? It all started over again there. Answers in Genesis, which is a creation research group, and I'd recommend you read some of their materials. They do a lot of scientific research and study of things from a biblical point of view. But they estimate that at this time, at the time of the flood, which happened some 4,300 or so years ago, that there may have been a world population at that time of some 750 million. It's an estimation based on some factors, some mathematical factors that they figured in. But 750 million, not a small amount of people, not as many as we have now, but a lot of people. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, the writer says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." That's the story in one verse. How was he heir of the righteousness which is according to faith? All eight. Eight were believers. All eight of them were believers. They, once again, all the human family would come through them, including all of our ancestors, and including the promised Messiah, the Savior. And so we came once again through the family of Noah. And the Bible records the great flood of Noah, in which the entire world was covered. And by the way, along these lines, accounts of the global flood around the world are actually pretty common. Various people groups all over the world have a version of this event called the flood. I was reading on PBS, and it was not a Christian site, but on this site they state that while not all flood stories are the same, the description of the destruction of the world by water is a common theme in many religions and cultures. Most flood stories include an angry god or deity and a catastrophic water event that destroys the world but is only survived by a chosen few. Why? Why does this happen? Why do we see this story in so many cultures and parts of the world? Let's keep it quiet. Why so many parts of the world? Because surely it's not coincidence. It was a significant part of our family's history. It was a significant part of all of our family's history. Of course, we read it in the Jewish Christian scriptures that we have, this flood of Noah. It's talked about in the ancient Mesopotamian Epic of Gilgamesh, and it records a similar story. Yes, thank you. Oh, we don't have a children's program. Starts off next week, amen. By the way, check out our classrooms in the back, and there we have recarpeted all the rooms yesterday, and so they look really good. I wouldn't go in there, though, right now. It really smells strong of glue. So I encourage you to keep the children out of there during the food time, unless, well, never mind. Don't do it. Epic of Gilgamesh. The Aztecs in South America have a similar story of a global flood. The Greeks even have a story, the ancients, of in which Zeus, the son told the son of Prometheus to build an ark for himself and for his family because he was to destroy the world with a flood. There was some deluge of some type in Hindu writings. Chinese also have some background of this. Even studying some of their ancient script, I remember seeing, and I'm not an expert in Chinese writing, I have to rely on others who know Chinese writing, but the word for a large boat, it involves several characters, but one of them is a vessel, and then it has the number for eight, and then it has a symbol for mouths. Why? Why eight mouths on a vessel? Why not one mouth on a vessel or 10 mouths on a vessel? Surely that even the ancient Chinese had an understanding, because we are one family. They also had an understanding at some time in history of this great flood of Noah's time. The Norse people in Northern Europe have a story of a global flood. Even the Aboriginals in Australia have some story of a global flood. North American Indians have a flood story as well. The list goes on of cultures that have a flood story. Why? Because we are part of one big family. We have a common history. We understood about this. They differ on some of the details, of course, but it's hard to overlook the fact that certainly a great global flood happened. Scripture tells us, though, that God had said he would not destroy the earth again with a flood, and he gave us a sign. And what was that sign? A rainbow in the sky. He says, I will not destroy the earth with a flood again. And I give this as a sign to you. And that was the rainbow. After some time, though, the people, once again, were all together. Doesn't say exactly how long, but they were together. Population began to grow. And again, they forgot God. And that leads us to the next big event in our human shared history, which is? What is the next big event? Oh, come on. The tower, known as the Tower of Babel. Babel. Genesis 11, verse 1 tells us, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if we all came from one man and woman, and we grew, and then it was destroyed, and then we had eight people who survived the global flood, I'm sure they didn't speak eight languages at that time. So they spoke one language, and the Bible here tells us, even after some time, they all gathered together, they spoke one language, one speech. We were all together at one time, and we all spoke alike. Even though we might have looked differently, we spoke alike. But again, instead of remembering God as creator, they were prideful. They wanted to do things their way without God. And so Genesis records how they began to build a great tower to make a name for themselves. Now, just got to know, this tower was not the single act of rebellion against God. God didn't say to them, you shall not build a tower. So it's not just they built a tower, that was evil. No, but the pride was, the issue was pride. Pride was the problem. God had told them to replenish the earth, to spread across the earth, to multiply. And they refused, they did not, and they stopped, and they wanted to make themselves great and not God. And this tower was just the symbol of the pride that was in their hearts. And God saw this and did something about this. In verse 7, it says, God says, come, let us go down. And by the way, when sometimes in Genesis, we see God speaking, and he uses the plural, us. Let us make man in our image. And, you know, this is part of that theology that we study. We learn Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There is no other God. But yet we see, you know, Elohim, God created the heavens. The Spirit of God hovered across the waters. John chapter 1 reminds us that Jesus was there in the beginning and nothing was created without him. And so we have this concept that we understand as the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. And so God here again is saying us, Father, Son, and Spirit, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Can you imagine? No longer could they all understand one another. Something happened. God intervened. And here we have the separation and the dispersion and the spreading out of people, groups. As again, Miss Jennifer and the story showed us. And so we came from one man and one woman. Again, later, another faithful man during the time of the flood and his family. And then from here, we see the time when people groups were scattered around the world based on languages. How many languages? I don't know. I do know today, you know, even though we have thousands of languages and dialects, so many of those languages were related. You know, there's many that were built upon other languages. So I'm sure at the Tower of Babel, there were much fewer languages. And as the people group spread across the world and became more isolated, they began to develop more their own special way of communication. And they were cut off from others, and they became more unique in how they spoke. So I was born, most of you know, in the U.S., California. I came here as a young boy, but I was born in the U.S. Where did my family come from? My family. I'm not exactly sure, but at some point, I'm sure some of my some of my ancestors came from some place in Europe, most likely, some European place. I do have a mixture, and I know I have some Native Indian blood, American Indian, and so I'm a little bit of that in me, but the thing is that even the Europeans or the Indians, the natives, they would have eventually settled in these areas after leaving Babel. And these would have wandered until they settled in certain areas after the dispersion because of languages. My Chinese brothers and sisters, you do not have a separate Adam and Eve that you all came from. You have the same common ancestor that I do. You came from the same one that I did. And perhaps your group at the Tower of Babel took off in a different direction. You know, you saw a whole group heading off east. You said, well, fine, we'll go this direction. We'll go with the group that I can at least communicate with. We got to be able to talk, to do things, to work together. And so you take off in a different direction. But we must remember and help others to see that we're still part of one human family. We came from the same human family. There's another event which unites us as one big family. That event is Jesus Christ. John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saw the world, all the various people groups, all the various languages scattered to various parts. And the Bible says he loved them. God so loved the world. He saw them all, this human family, and he loved them. This Son, Jesus Christ, was the one who willingly became part of our human family. He entered into our family, became one of us. And he willingly paid the price of sin himself. He was the sacrificial Lamb of God. Who did he die for? Just the Jewish nation? No. Just Europeans? No. He died for the world. All the world. The human family. The great big family. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. What does it say? Read it out with me. We're almost done here. Ready? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Paul here is saying, doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, you come from that background, God's people, special, unique people, or you're part of the rest of the world, wherever you are from in this human family, there's no difference. The same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Galatians 3:28. What does this one say? Let's read this one. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Wow. Doesn't matter. In Christ, we become one part of that saved family. We go from being part of the human great big family to being part of the human saved family. Saved in God's eternal family. I remember growing up, every once in a while I saw a large picture depicting Jesus. But instead of the usual one that you know, I've seen paintings of, sometimes I would see an interesting-looking Jesus dressed in robes, but he was a black person, completely different looking. He was a black Jesus. And so people who were from, you know, black communities wanted to have their own black Jesus. Listen, that's fine if Jesus was merely an idea or a philosophy. And you could just make them anything you want. You know, you want a black Santa Claus, you want a white, you want an Asian Santa Claus. But this is different. Jesus was born a Jew. He was a real person. Came into a real world. He became a real person in a real culture in the Jewish community. He was a Jew. And so we have every good reason to think that he looked very much like we would expect a Jew to look. But like Jews or blacks or Europeans or Chinese or whatever else you can think of, whichever else group that you claim as yours, Jesus was born into the great big human family. He was still one of us because we all are part of that family. And he did that so that he could represent us in dying for us. What must be done by us then? In Acts 2, we have a fellow named Peter, and he's speaking, preaching a message to many nations, people that represented many nations, spoke many different languages. He preached the gospel of Christ. He spoke of Jesus and what he did, his death and his resurrection. And as he was speaking, we come to verse 37, and the people responded. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They heard the message of Christ. They were cut to the heart. You know what that means, cut to the heart? That means there was such a conviction inside We call this the conviction of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and bringing about conviction. But they were cut to the heart, and they had to respond. And their response was, what do we do? We understand who we are. We understand we have sinned and we need to be saved. What do we do about it? And the response comes in verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Repent. Repent and be baptized. But the message of repentance is still the same. As part of the great big family, we acknowledge we're all sinners. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all, for all have sinned. And so we say, yes, I'm a sinner. And we put our faith, our trust in Jesus, that he was the one. He is the promised one. He was God's answer. He saved us. He saved us. We repent. Repent. We say, God, we're wrong. You're right. We will follow you. We will believe you. Earlier, I had said that I believe that if we all had a biblical understanding of where we came from, there would not be racism as we've seen. Instead, we're taught different things. We're taught that we all just happened by chance. We're taught we all evolved different paces. Some of us are more evolved and more smart than others. And we can develop wrong thinking and bad ideas towards others in our human family. But we see that we all come from one big family. We share a common ancestral experience. We share the great flood of Noah. We share the dispersing at the Tower of Babel. But now in Christ, we are brought back together as one big family. And whatever place you're from, whatever color your skin is, whatever color and type of hair that you have on your head, you are part of this story, and you're part of this family. And I want to close with my favorite verse, and I hope that each of you will be a part of this verse that I'm going to read. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. This is at the end. This is when things are wrapping up as far as God's time frame here. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, all tribes, all peoples, and all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And they were worshiping together. They were worshiping the Lord together. One big family in heaven forever. I want you part of that. I want to be there. I want to see you there. You're part of this family. We're going to have those robes on. We're going to be waving those branches around, and we're going to be praising the Lord together. Will you be there? Will you stand with me, please? With your head bowed and your eyes closed for a moment. As I see around this room, I know we're all in one place. We all live here in New Zealand. But I also see many of us come from other places. You know, many of us originally came from other places. We all look a bit different. A good number of us talk different. Either our accents are different, or even our language, our original language we speak, is different. Our skin colors are different.
The shapes of our noses and eyes and bodies are different. But my friends, we got to remember that we are much more alike than we are different, because God made us. And we share that one common ancestor. We come from that one. All of us. Don't forget who we are. Yes, we share some same experiences. The fall has affected every one of us. We've all been affected by sin in this world. Not just people around us, but ourselves. We've all sinned. We're sinners. We were all affected by the flood. Everything was reset again. And we came from Noah and his family, that group. We were all affected by the event of the tower. And that really separated us. Not only that, but we spoke differently. And we spread it out across the world into our various places. And many were isolated for many, many years. But Jesus Christ came. He came because God so loved the world. He loved this great big family of humans that he had made. But we needed salvation. We needed forgiveness. Have you trusted Jesus and received that forgiveness? Have you? I know many of you could say, yes, yes, indeed I have. But there may be some here who honestly are unsure. This is new. But if you want to be a part of that great eternal family, that forgiven, saved family of God, I urge you today, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent. Trust him. Trust him today. And be part not only of the great big human family, but the great big family of God. The ones that will be wearing these robes and waving the branches and singing praises to God in heaven. Would you like that? With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you want to come and spend some time in prayer and thanking him, if you want to talk with somebody, please come and just let me know, and we'll have someone share with you more about how you can know Jesus Christ is your Savior too. Just a few moments, though. A few moments. Would you like to respond to the message you've heard this morning? Please step out where you are. Spend some time in prayer with the Lord. Or let me know, and we will have someone talk and share with you more. Would you like that? I'll give us just a few moments in quiet time in prayer together, and then I'll close us. I want to add just one thing, and that is, I understand people may be conscientious, self-conscious, but if God is speaking to your heart and you want to trust Jesus today, when we're finished with the service, talk to myself, talk to Pastor Mike. Any number of the leaders of IBC would be glad to talk with you more. But please, please, don't leave without settling this most important issue. We are one big family. But how much greater is it to be one big saved family in Christ? Father in heaven, dismiss us now with your blessings, I pray. And I pray for any, Lord, who are uncertain of where they stand with you, their Creator God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to that person and that they may come to faith today, now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Please take a seat for a moment. We just have a couple announcements, and then we'll be dismissed for lunch.
Thank you for the message this morning. It's been a good day already with the music, the singing. Special number by the Chinese choir. Thank you all. That was beautiful. Story time that we had for the children, and then meeting Daniel and Carol and Willem. So it's been a good day. It's not finished yet. You're all invited to stay right after the worship service here, and there'll be a lunch served in the back. And so the ladies are back preparing some of the things, getting the tables ready now. So as soon as we're dismissed here, shortly after that, we'll have everything ready to serve. A few announcements to share with you. This is our last summer holiday service, which means that next week we start back at 9 o'clock with our Sunday school teaching time, classes for children all the way through to the adults. That's at 9 o'clock, and then the worship service will be at 10 o'clock, so that starts back next Sunday. Also, life groups will be starting back. Some started back this past week. Some life groups will be meeting in the coming weeks. If you're not a part of one of the weekday life groups, then see Brother Rene. He's right back here with his hand up, nice and high. See Brother Rene, and he will link you up with some of the life groups that may be appropriate for you, or you can just check on the back of the bulletin, and you'll see some of the names and the life groups and when they operate, and come and let us know, and we'll connect you in with them. The Bible Training Center, that starts back, well, it started back last week on Thursday, the first class,
the second class
this coming Thursday. We're in book number 8, and that book is called Teaching Principles and Methods. If you've already previously taken some of the other books, we'd like you to continue on in this.
If you're taking this one for the first time,
or you're unsure about whether you should take this class, see Pastor Ken, and he'll give you all the details. It's this Thursday at 7 o'clock. Also, our IBC youth or teen groups, that will all be starting back this coming Friday, the 19th of February. And if you have any questions about that, then see Josh and Denise, and they'll give you all the information about the teen group that will be starting back this Friday night. And then new members class, starting the 28th of February. Perhaps you've been coming along here to the church for some time, but you've never become a member of the church and you're interested or would like to. Come to this class, and this will be a 6-week class. It'll be at 9 o'clock in the mornings on Sunday mornings. Pastor Ken will be teaching through that class. So if you have any questions, see him, and he will give you all the details about that. Continue to pray for our missionaries as well as Steve and Lynn Spohr that we mentioned earlier. Continue to pray for them and their needs that was mentioned about Steve's hip replacement surgery.